We begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos daf Chav Tes. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the third parak of Masechet Ksubos, parak Elanaris. Now this parak continues on a similar discussion the previous parakim regarding the halacha that applies to a besula. As we said, the besula nisus lemervi, regarding there's a difference in the ksuba if a woman is a besula, a virgin, or not a besula. The same thing will apply here for the following halacha that applies only to a besula. So the Mishnah begins, Elanaris. Regarding these nairis, now, as Rashi points out, this halacha is specifically, according to the Tanna of Mishnah, only for a nara, which a nara is from the time when a woman brings two sairis ba'isim makim, two pubic hairs, until she becomes a begeris, which that's approximately 6 months between when she becomes a nara, around age 12, till when she becomes a begeris, 12 and a half. But a katana, a minor, under the age of 12, or a begeris, from 12 and a half and older, then they don't have this kanas, which applies, as we're saying, that these nairis, sheyesh lehen kanas, they do have the penalty. The penalty is awarded to them if a man is ma'anis to them, if a man violates them, forcibly does bia with them, so that ma'anis, that violator, has to give to the father of this woman 50 silver coins, as the pasuk says, v'nosna isha sheichiv, and the man who lays with her has to give to her father. So the Mishnah will be delineating specific chidushim, novelties in the halacha about a woman that was violated, that was raped by a man, that her father gets this knas from the violator. The Mishnah speaks about three different categories that are chidushim. First of all, habala mamzeres. If a man forcibly has beer with a mamzeres, now the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean, and a kashera, a regular, a full-fledged Jewish woman that does not have a tainted lineage, doesn't get the knas? And that the Gemara is going to answer that no, psulis itzruch elei l'shminan. The Mishnah wanted to tell us novelties in halacha that even those who are apostle, in other words, this man is not allowed to stay married to a mamzeres, and yet if he violates her, he still has to go ahead and give her the penalty for being ma'anasar. So there's a mamzeres, which is an illegitimate child from a forbidden union, val hanasino, or a woman that's from the people of the Givonim, where they're forbidden to marry into the kehilah of the Jewish people. Because David HaMelech made a gzeir on them, as the Gemara explains in Pesach Yavamas and Daf Ayin Chesam Abeis. Now, because the pasuk says in Yeshua Perek Tes, Vayitnam Yehoshua, that Yeshua gave them over to be Chayt Ve'etzim, woodchoppers of the Shevim Ayman, and water carriers, that's what they call Nesinim, from that word of Vayitnam. But it's a reference to the people of the Gevayim. Valakutis, and also regarding a woman that's from the people of the Kutim, which, as Rashi points out, that obviously this Tana holds that they weren't full-fledged converts. They were what's called Gira Arroyas, in the sense of that it's from the Lashon of Ari, of a lion, because of the incident that happened, that they were being attacked, and they realized that they have to convert, but it wasn't a full-fledged conversion, and therefore they're still included, as Rashi explains, from the prohibition of Leitis Chatnabam, that they're forbidden to have marriage. So that's the first Chedushim, that although that they're negative violations to marry these women, still, if one violates them, there's still a liability of a knas to pay to their father. The second category of chedushim is habala giyaris. If someone, again, forcibly has bia with this woman that's a woman convert, a female convert, or va'ala shvuya, or a Jewish woman that was taken into captivity, or va'ala shivcha, or a maidservant, sheniftu vishnis gairu vishnis tachru, they were either redeemed or converted or freed, in reference to the three different types of women, under the age of three. Now, the novelty of this halacha is that, therefore we consider them in the chazaka, in the presumptive state that they are a besula. And the reason is because although as a non-Jewess, or as a slave girl, or as a state of captivity, we do assume that they were violated, that they did have cohabitation with non-Jewish men, however, even if they had bia, a woman under the age of three, her besulim come back. And therefore, since they became full-fledged Jewish free women under the age of three, and by that point, they're not having bia with these other men. So therefore, even if they had it by, let's say, age two, it anyways coming back, and that's why we could assume that they're besulim, and hence if they're violated by a man, they will get the knas, which applies to only a besulim. A third category of chedushim is regarding those that there's a punishment of karis, to have a relationship with them, which is habalochais. Let's say a man forcibly violates his sister, or valochais aviv, or his father's sister, or valochais ima, his mother's sister, or valochais ishtoi, or his wife's sister, or va'al ishas achiv, or his brother's wife, which Rashi points out two requirements for this case. First of all, it has to be that she was only engaged to his brother, because if she was married, that means they consummated the relationship, then she won't have Besulim anyway, and then it doesn't apply the whole knas of being ma'anis of Besula. Moreover, it has to be that she was divorced from his brother, and thereby she's not an Eishes, a married woman anymore, so that there's, because a married woman has Mises Bezin, as we're going to see this category of Chiddush, of novelty, that there is a knas only applies that there's Karis, which is punishment by the hand of heaven, but not by Mises Bezin, which would be by the courts if she was a married woman. So it has to be A, that she was only engaged to his brother, and that she's divorced, so there's only Karis and not Mises Bezin. And Valishas Achi Aviv, or on his father's brother's wife, meaning his uncle through his father's wife. Again, as Rashi points out, it has to be that she was only engaged to him, hence she's a Besula, and that she was divorced from him now when this person was Ma'anis, his aunt. Again, because or else if they were married, it would be an Eishes Ish, would be a Achiv Mises Bezin. And Valanida, which again, any woman that's menstruating, there's a Achiv Karis to have be with her. So all this third category, yesh len knas, if a man forcibly violates this woman that's a besula, they do get the penalty. And the reason is because afapi shein baka hei karis, that's the chiddush of this third category, although there's a punishment of karis, ein beha mises bezdin, one who violates having a relationship with these arayas don't get the death by the courts. And therefore, as Rashi points out, if there's a punishment of karis, that does not apply for the halacha what's known as kamle b'dirabmine, which said you only get the stronger punishment of Mises Bezin and you don't get the monetary penalty, that fine, that doesn't apply to Karis. So therefore you could get Karis and still have to pay the penalty of a Ninus. That's the Chidushim of this Mishnah. Now, the Gemara, as we alluded to this in the Mishnah, points out the obvious question. Hani Nairis Pesulas Islu Knas? You're saying these are the Nairis? These are these adolescent girls from the age of 12 to 12 and a half that they get a Knas? And so what are you saying? Hananai's Pesulas is Luknasi. And what are the categories? Who gets the Knas? So you spoke about all these Pesulais type of women, meaning that are forbidden to the men on some level. Ksheris Loi, and those that are Kasha, a regular Jewish woman that's aged 12 to 12 and a half, doesn't get it? So I think what the Mishnah was trying to say was, Elu Nairis Pesulais Sheshlam Knas. Yes, we know that a Naira, it says in the Torah, regarding the Parsha of Einis, that they get the Knas. But what the Mishnah wanted to say was novelties was El Nais Pesulis Sheshem Knas. These are the ones that are invalid. They're forbidden on some level to this man anyway, that they still get the Knas. That's how Baal Mamzeres, Val Nasin, Val Kudis, and talks about the Chedushim of Chiv Alavin, which are those of the first category, and those of the third category, those are of Chiv Akrisis. Now, the Gemara makes a diuk, as we had alluded to this as we learned the Mishnah, that Naira in. It sounds like these are the Nairis, only between age 12 and 12 and a half, that they get a Knas if they're forcibly violated. But Ketan Aloy, but not a minor, not under the age of 12. So now the question is, Mantan Hud's the town of our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, it's Remeir, as the Gemara is going to quote the Braisa that illustrates Remeir's opinion, the town of Glinda Braisa. Ketan Aloy Mibas Yoim Echad, a girl from age 1 day old, Va'atra Tovi Shtei Cyrus, until she brings two Cyrus, which thus makes her an adult, yesh lo mecher, that there is halacha that the father has rights to sell her as a maidservant. But ve'en lo knas, if someone forcibly has be with her, that person that violated does not pay a penalty to the father. And conversely, umishat tavish tei sirus v'achati bager, when she brings two sirus until she becomes a begaris, which is this period of 6 months, which approximately the two sirus are, we assume, at age 12 to 12 and a half, then yesh lo knas, then there is the penalty. But ve'en lo mecher, at that age, the father already can't sell her as a maidservant. As it's taught in the Braisa Masechta Seirich and the Chavtes Mabez, that you would think you could sell your daughter when she's a naira, and that we say a kavochim. If she was already sold, she gets out from slavery, who she sold to when she has two sirus. So now when she's not sold, isn't it a kavuchem that for sure you can't sell her when she has two sirus? So therefore, divrei meir, that's the opinion of meir, that when there is a knas, I mean, when she's already 12, then you can't sell her anymore. Now, shahar meir, because meir said, and this is a simon to recall this halacha, kal mokem sheyesh mecher ein knas. If the woman is the age where you could sell her, then there's no penalty, as we said, because selling is up till when she's a naira, when she's a ketana at that age period. Well, then there's no knas. Whenever there is a penalty, which means that she must be a naira already, until begeris, then there's no selling again because selling is only up until she becomes a naira. Now, chachama emrim, they say, ketana mi ba'ashol shana b'yem echad, a minor, once she reaches 3 years old, meaning that's the age when she's fit for bia, for cohabitation, as we said, that then the besulim don't come back anymore, then from va'ad shati bogar until she becomes a begeris, yesh la knas, then she does have a knas. So obviously, as the Gemara pointed out in the name of Rehuda Merav, obviously our Mishnah is like Reb Meir, who says that no, the window for the Knas is only in the age of Nairis, 12 and a half. But the Chachamim obviously hold not like our Mishnah because they hold that Knas already applies from age 3 all the way to 12 and a half, not just in the age of Nair. Now, but the Gemara asks on the Chacham's opinion that we just mentioned, Knas in Mechor Loi, you're saying that a woman from age 3 till 12 and a half gets a Knas. But what about the other element that Remei was told about of Mechor? What, she can't be sold? If she's 3 years up, then she can't be sold as a maidservant? So that the Gemara says, no, Emo, what you should say is, in the words of the Chacham, as we continue on Talmud Beis, that Af Knas B'Makom Mechor. The Chacham will come in to tell you a Chiddush in Knas. And that's actually, as Rashi points out, why they said age 3. Because the age of Bia, which is for the Knas of the Einis, only starts at age 3. But for selling as a maidservant, and that actually starts already at 1 day old, until she brings 2 sires, it's only he's saying that additionally there's a halach of knas, even when there's mechor, even when she's a katana, that everyone agrees she could be sold. Chacham argue and say that she could even have the knas from age 3 and up also. But now the Gemara asks a basic question on our Mishnah. V'hani b'nei knasin inu, is it really true, as the chidushim were said in our Mishnah, that a woman that is a chiva lav, let's say mamzeres and the sina, and those that are chiva karas, like nida and achisai, that they really get the penalty of oinus if this man violates them? But vamai, why do they get a knas for these nice psulais? But ikrikan, you should apply the pasuk that says in Devarim, for a man that's ma'anis, where it says in that pasuk in Devarim, chav beis chav tes, v'nos ne'isha sheichivim alavi ha'naira. Now it says, besides giving the penalty, it says, V'loi si Elisha. Now, for him, this woman that he violated now has to be his wife. That's part of the penalty. Now, on that, we should say, Isha haru yaloi, it should be a woman that's fit for him. Meaning, if it's appropriate, as the pasuk is qualifying, that he has to marry her, then that type of woman will get a knas. And these women are not fit to be married, either because there's a negative prohibition, or because there's even a punishment of karis. So why do they get a knas? So then on Rosh Lakish says that because the Sukkim there in Devarim say, Naira, Naira, Ha Naira. And that is because in the parasha of Oinus over there, when a man is violating a woman, it says, Ki Motzi Ish Naira Besula. It says that if a man finds a Naira, that's a Besula. And it says afterwards, the next pasuk says, V'nosin Ha'ish HaShoichi V'ma'la V'ha Naira, that the man who laid with her has to give to the father of the Naira. Now, we darshan, first of all, the word naira is extra. It could have just said the nasan la aviha that it gives to our father. So the whole word naira is extra. But besides an extra word naira, there's an extra hey, ha naira, with the naira. So essentially we have 3 different references. We have the first naira, which, okay, that's just telling you the qualification of the halacha. Then there's an extra word naira, and then there's an extra hey, which is ha naira. So on that Rosh Lakish says, Chad legufe. Okay, so the first one, when it references naira, is necessary to tell you the actual halacha of a ksher, of a regular naira, where if a man's ma'anasar and she's the age of a naira, or according to the chacham, it's even younger, but to tell you the halacha of ma'anas, that you have to pay the penalty. V'chad lasuichiv alavin. But the next extra superfluous reference is telling you that even if, let's say, she's a mamzeris, if there's a negative prohibition to marry her, still there's going to be a penalty. And then the third reference of the extra hey is lasui chiva krisis, is to tell you that even if she's a let's say a nida, where there's a violation of a chiva krisis, even then there's going to be the application of the knas of an oinus. And therefore that's how you see, although the pasuk says b'lo yisi leisha, here we have extra ribuyim that are telling us that we should include even chiva lav and chiva krisis. Papa, he says, it's actually the psukim in Shemais, where it says b'sula, b'sulais, habesulais, where this is in the sister type of parsha, which is not by ma'anis, by violating a woman, but by mefata, by seducing a woman. Where it says, v'chiyefata ish besula, it says that if a man will seduce a besula, now it says afterwards, in the next pasuk, it says, kesef yishkal kamar habesulais, that he should weigh out money to pay to this woman like the settlement of the besulais. Now it could have said kamoyer besulais. So therefore we have essentially three references of besulais. We have the extra hay, because it didn't have to say kamoyer ha besulais. And moreover, the extra word, the word besulis itself is superfluous in the second reference, because it could have just said kamayhar, and it could have been some, because we know contextually what it's talking about. So why do we have three references over there of besula, besulis, habesula? So chalagufa, yes. One is to tell you the actual halacha of seducing a woman that you have to pay that penalty. But the extra word besulis teaches you that even if it's a negative prohibition. The extra hay tells you that even if it's a punishment of karas, you're still going to have to pay the penalty of a mafata. Now, the Gemara wonders. We have two answers for this question of how we know chivalav and chivakrisis. So the Gemara asks, for a papa, my time alone, I'm a Kresh Lakish. Why didn't Rav Papa learn like Kresh Lakish from the parasha of Oinis? So that the Gemara answers, no, hahu, that hanara, which he's using as two extra references, one the word naira itself and the hey hanaira, that it didn't have to say that, and therefore he's expounding chiv alav and chiv akrisis. On that, the reason why I didn't say benasin la via is actually mibayi lelikad abaya. The word hanaru was necessary for a different drasha, that of what abaya says, and that is, as the Gemara will explain, that if the father doesn't get a chance to take this violator to court before his daughter has already died, then actually the violator is going to be exempt. And that's what the halacha is saying, dam abaya, like abaya said, ba'al la omeisa potter. If this man violated this woman and then she died before there was a chance for him to be taken to court to pay the penalty, so Potter, he's actually going to be exempt from the penalty. Shneimar, like it says there in the pasuk, v'nasin la'avi hanara, that the violator gives to the father of the nara, which sounds like that she's alive, she's there, which is la'avi nara v'loy la'avi mesa. He gives it to the father of a nara, but not to the father of a woman that died. And that's the chiddush why it's necessary. So he can't learn from there, nara hanara, extra lavin and krisis, because it's not extra. It's necessary today, this drasha of levi hanara, levi mesa. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, so Rish Lakish, my time alone with Krab Papa. Why didn't Rish Lakish learn Krab Papa? Learning it from Besula, Besulis, Ha Besulis, by the parasha of Mefata, of seducing a woman. So that the Gemara says, now, hahu, that Besula, which is written by Mefata, is also not extra to be used to include chiva lav and the chiva krisis, that they get these penalties of a man that violates them in some way. Because mibayli l'gzereshava, it's necessary for gzereshava of besula besula, where it says besula by the parasha of Oinis, it says besula by the parasha of Mefata, and it comes to teach us, as the Gemara will explain, that just like when it says kesef by the parasha of Oinis, it means you have to pay 50 silver coins, so to by Mefata, we know now it means the amount has to be 50. And just like Bamafata says the term of yishkol, which means you have to pay shkolim, so to when you have to pay the 50 penalty by the einis, it's also a reference to what type of coins, that of shkolim. The time like Linda Brysa. The pasuk says in Shemais by Mefata, says, kesef yishkol kamar habesulis, that he should weigh out the silver coins like the settlement that's necessary for a besula. Which the drasha is, Shehezeh, that this case of Mefata, which the pasuk is talking about, that you have to pay 50 coins, should be kamoyer habesulais, should be like the 50 coins that are explicit by when one violates a besula. So how do we know that it's 50? Because we're comparing this of kesev yishko by the besula, like moyer habesulais, which the pasuk there says explicitly that it's going to be 50. Well, moyer habesulais, and that the case of oynis, that it's going to have to be shkalim, is kezeh. How do we know that? Because we learned that out from Mefata. And therefore, he says they can't learn like Rav Papa from that pasuk of habesulis, because that word of besula is necessary to be extra to learn as a gezer shava from the parashah of Oynis, which also says besula, and you need to have at least one of them, mufna, which is a superfluous term to learn this gezer shava, and thus we know that gezer shava to apply the halacha 50 to Mefata and shkalim by Oynis. So the Gemara asks. So each one had a reason why I didn't learn like the other one. But, so the Gemara says, V'Rish Lakish nami mibayli like da abaya. So Rish Lakish, how does he learn now from Hanara, the extra Nara and Hanara, to say that it's even Chivalavin and even Chivakrisis, but he needs it for the Halach of Abaya, to say Lavi Hanar, V'Loi Lavi Mesa. And Rav Papa nami mibayli like Zereshava. How does Rav Papa learn now from the extra word Besulis, Ha Besulis, to tell you that Chivalavin and Chivakrisis, you'll pay the penalties, but he needs that word Besulis, like the halacha of the Gzeira Shava, to compare, as we just brought from the Braisa, to the parasha of Oinus and Oinus to Mefatim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, rather, actually, according to everybody, Rish Lakish and Rabbapa, there's actually one big conglomerate, and they're all learning it from the same place. Shita Kroi Ksivi. If you put it all together, the parasha of Oinus, the parasha of Mefata, there's six psukim. You have Nara, Nara, Hanara, which Rish Lakish pointed that out, and you have Besula, Besula, Sabsulas, which Rabbapa pointed out. But they're all actually saying the same shot. Trei Ligufayu. So you need one term of Nara by Oinus, and you need one term of Besula by Mefata to tell you the actual halacha itself. Now, Chad Likadabai. Now, take one of the Naras, meaning the extra term Had Nara, take the word Nara, that teaches you Abaya's halacha, which is Lavi Nara, Veloy Lavi Mesa. V'chad L'Gzer Shava, and you have to take one term of Besulais to teach you the Gzer Shava, which, again, as we said, you have to have one of the terms Mufna, which is superfluous, to learn out from the Gzer Shava to the other one, to the halacha of Oinus and to Mefata and backwards. Now, Ayatru Luhut Leitre. Now, we have two extra references that are still superfluous. We have the extra, let's say, Hey of Hanara by the Parsha Boinus, and we have extra Hey of Habasulis by the Parsha Mefata. Now, Chad Lasui Chivalavan. So now, one of the extra terms is teaching Chivalavan, Vachad Latui Chivakrisis, and one is teaching that it applies even to Chivakrisis. Now, Tesis points at the obvious question. Now, one ribui of the Hey is said by the Parsha Boinus, one is said by the Parsha Mefata. So maybe, actually, we would not include Chiva Krisis. Maybe both of them are coming to include Chiva Lavin. Just one is a Reboy by Oinus, and one is a Reboy by Mefata. And that Taisa says, no, that would not be necessary, because we really have a Gzeir Shava. As we pointed out before, one of the terms is learning out of Gzeir Shava, Oinus, and Mefata. And therefore, they already learn that one from the other. Hence, if we have one Reboy by Oinus or Mefata, we would already know the halacha to the other one. And therefore, if we have one Reboy, that would tell us Chiva Lavin, and the other Reboy will tell us Chiva Krisis. And that's the source for the Mishnah, for the halacha in our Mishnah, that even if it's not Veloisi Leisha, we have a Reboy to say that even Chiva Lavin and Chiva Krisis, the halacha of Knast, would apply. Now, the Gemara points out, and this will continue on to the next daf too, where that our Mishnah, we make certain diukim that obviously our Mishnah is excluding from a different Tana. Now our Mishnah, our Gemara focuses on the fact that our Mishnah says that there is going to be a knas, as we just pointed out in the sugya that we just discussed, that a mamzeris, which is a chiva lavin, or a chayse, which is a chiva karis, that even they get a penalty of a knas. So then the Gemara says, ulafuge mahaitana. Obviously that's coming to exclude from the following Tana. The Tana, in the Braisa, it says in the Pasuk, as we had asked from, it says, v'loi si leisha, that this woman that he violated now has to marry her. Now Shimon Hatimoni, I mean, he says, Isha Sheyesh Behavaya. What it means is when he says the term Isha, it has to be a woman that Kedushin would be typhus, that there is Havaya, that Kedushin could happen between him and the woman that he violated. Now that's excluding his sister, or all Chiva Krisis, because we learn in Mesechta's Kedushin, that Kedushin is not typhus in a Chiva Krisis, in a woman that is, one cannot get engaged, it doesn't even happen, that's not considered that you're married to the sister. Now, that's because he learns the term Sia, as many times in Shas, as a term of Havaya, which is a term connoting Kedushin. So therefore, according to Shimon HaTimon, he cannot be like our Mishnah, because he would say by the third category, those of the Chiva Krisis, Kedushin is not typhus. Then you can't have a Sia Leisha, therefore there's no penalty of Knas. Shimon ben Manasseh, I mean, he says even more. And according to him, for sure our Mishnah cannot be like him, because even the first category wouldn't apply. When he says, Isha haru'i l'kaima, he learns the word siya, v'loi siya l'isha, meaning she should be, meaning he should maintain her as a wife. Which means to say that even if Kedushin could be typhus in this woman, if you cannot stay married to her, which if you're having a negative prohibition like a Mamzeris in the Sina in Kutis, where there's a negative prohibition, you cannot stay married even if Kedushin is typhus, then it doesn't apply the Knas of Oinus, and therefore even the first category is not like Rishon HaManasseh. So therefore, obviously, Tana of Mishnah is not like either one of these two Tanoim. Now the Gemara points out, my Benai, what is the halachic difference between Shimon HaTimni and Rishon HaManasseh? That they're saying that you has to be a woman that's appropriate for you, then you pay the knas if you're ma'anasar. What's the difference if it means a woman that you can get engaged to, or a woman that you can stay engaged to? So the Gemara says, Mamzeris says, Mamzeris of Nesinik Benayu. The first category of our Mishnah would be a halachic difference between them. Laman dama yesh bavai, according to Shimon HaTimni, that said that the woman that you're violating, that you pay knas, so that has to be that then you'll pay the knas, that if there's kedushin that can be typhus. Well, hanami yesh bavaya. Mamzeres in the scene, the kedushin is typhus and chiv alav, and as the Gemara there learns in Masechtas kedushin, therefore he holds that you would pay the knas from Mamzeres in the scene. Lamanda amar rui lekaima, but according to Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi, that says that no, it's not enough. Even if kedushin is typhus, but you have to be able to maintain that marriage. Not a staying married to Chiva Lavin, so even though Kedusha is Tefes, but you're forced to divorce, and therefore he would hold that even the first category would not apply the Knas of Oinus. Now, however, the Gemara still continues to ask, Rebbe Kiva, the Amar in Kedusha and Tefes and Chiva Lavin, Rebbe Kiva that he holds, as it's brought in Masechtas Yevamos, on Perek Achilat, Tafim Dalam Abeis, that in the Braisa, regarding the case of someone that's Mamachzig Rishasa, where if he divorces a woman, in the interim she had married someone else, and then he remarries her, so there's a negative prohibition, Kiva says that there's no Kedushin. Kedushin is not Taifis when there's a negative prohibition. So then the Gemara asks, so then my Benayu. So then what is the halachic difference between Reb Shimon HaTimni and Reb Shimon Benasya? Now Rashi points out that actually the Gemara's question is only because of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. And the reason is because actually Shimon HaTimni is on record already, Masechtas Yevamos, Tefillin Tesamid Aleph, that he actually argues on the whole halacha of Reb Kiva. I mean, he don't ask that, oh, if you hold like Reb Kiva, so then not having Kedushin Taifis is, of the case of Mamzeres and Nesina, is the same as not being able to stay married to them, because Kedushin is not Taifis in that, which the Gemara wanted to say that would be the difference between them. You can't say that. What would be the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Reb Shimon ben Nasi? Because actually Shimon HaTimni doesn't hold like Rabbi Kiva. As the Gemara that brings in the Mishnah says, Ezehu Mamzer, who is a Mamzer? Which means to say that's usually the equivalent of Kedusha not being typhus. It's any relative that has a negative prohibition, that's the word of Reb Kiva. But Shimon HaTimni there says clearly that it's only if you have Chiv Karetz B'dei Shemayim. So according to him, obviously, he would not hold like Rabbi Kiva. But the Gemara's question, Rashi points out, is according to Reb Shimon ben Nasi. If he holds like Rebbe Kiva, so what's the difference in his referencing? If you say that Tziya means that, as he says it, that you cannot maintain this relationship, you can't stay married, to the terminology that Shimon HaTimni uses, which is regarding that of Kedusha not being typhus of Havaya, even if he would learn like even if Rebbe Shimon ben Nasya would say like Shimon HaTimni that it means of Havaya, even so, he would still be excluding a Mamzer, because he holds a Rebbe Kiva, so therefore, what's the difference between Ru'i L'Kaima or Teyesh B'Havaya? That's the Gemara's question. Wouldn't make any halachic difference. So why does Shimon ben Nasi argue in Shimon HaTimni? Shimon HaTimni says that it's only a woman that doesn't have Kedush and Typhus, and Shimon ben Nasi, it sounds like he's saying a bigger Chiddush, that even if it has Kedush and Typhus, but if you can't maintain the relationship, then that's not going to be a penalty. But according to Rebbe Kiva, the case that we thought was a difference would not be a difference, because actually, Chiv Alavin, that one cannot stay married to, the Kedushin is not typhus in either. So that the Gemara says, the Ikabinai, the difference would be then, would be Amon L'Kohen Gadol. That Rebbe Kiva holds by when a widow gets married to a Kohen Gadol, Kedushin is typhus, even though there's a negative prohibition. And it would be like Rebbe Simoi, which as Rashi points out, it would be even a Gusha to Kohen Hedyut, but it means to say regarding those that are the negative prohibitions regarding Kahan. The Talmud learned the Braisa. Simoy, I mean, he says, min ha-koil, from any birth of a negative prohibition type of relationship, Isur Rebbe Kiva Mamzer. Rebbe Kiva said the child is going to be a Mamzer. Because, as we're saying, Kedushin is not Toifis, by Chiv Alavin, thus making the child into a Mamzer. Chotz Ma'amon L'Kohen Gadol, except when a widow gets married to a Kohen Gadol, or, as we said, a Grusha to and a Chalitza to Kohen Hedyut. Shari Amr Terek, as the Terek says, I'm a Yikra, it says, Lo Yikach, that the Kohen is not allowed to go out and take in marriage an Almana. Now it says nearby, it says, V'lo Yichal, and thereby not desecrate his children. Now what that means is that that's from a Din Kuhuna, which applies Chilul. So the inference is Chilulun Huwaisa. Yes, the consequential fallout of a Kohen Gadol marrying Almana will be that what shouldn't happen, which would happen, is that he'll be Mechal Zarei. He's going to be making chilulin, but the inference is ve'ein lo yisam mamzerin, but he's not going to make mamzerin, which that's a more severe punishment. So therefore, we see that that could be a difference between Reb Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni, that you have a case according to Reb Kiva that kedushin would be typhus, as we see, because obviously the child's not a mamzer. Obviously, that there is a marriage here, And therefore, according to Rav Shimon Menasseh, since you cannot maintain the relationship, there won't be a penalty. But according to Shimon HaTimni, that holds that the criteria is that of Kedushin Taifas. Since Kedushin is Taifas by Mamon L'Kohen Gadol, therefore there would be a penalty of Anainus. But the Gemara continues to ask, and still qualifies this. But Ol Rabbi Shevav, but according to Rabbi Shevav, the Amid that he says, Bayu v'nitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef, let's go ahead and shout on Rabbi Kiva, because he's increasing the amount of mamzerim in the Jewish people for nothing. And the reason is Shahayim, because he said, Kol she'en lo biya b'Yisrael, anytime there's a forbidden cohabitation in the Jewish people, even Amon L'Kohen Gadol, which is a forbidden biya, Havlad mamzer, the child is going to be a mamzer. So anytime there's a biya with a woman that there's no permission of biya, the child's a mamzer. So my benayu, you're back to the question now. Because that comes out that even the case of Mon L'Kohen Gadol is the same thing for Reb Shimon Menasseh and Shimon HaTimni. Because, yes, you can't maintain the marriage for sure, so there's no penalty. But even according to Shimon HaTimni, it's not going to be a knas, because according to Reb Shimon's qualification of Reb Akiva, then even Mon L'Kohen Gadol, anytime there's a prohibition of Bia, there's going to be no knas, because Kedushin is not going to be typhus. So Ikeb Nei, the Gemara says that even according to Rabbi Shevav, the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon HaNasi will be, as we continue on top of Laman Ralph, will be Chive Asei Mitzvah Ve'Ademi. When there's no negative prohibition, there's just a positive commandment that's being violated by an Egyptian or an Adamit convert within three generations, where the Pasuk says in Devarim Chav Gimel that Dor Shlishi Yavla, that only the third generation of them converting could they marry into the Jewish people. Which what's called a lava bo machlal asay is nasay, a negative prohibition, meaning something you're not allowed to do, that's inferred from a positive commandment, has the power of a positive commandment, that's not a negative prohibition, and therefore there even, according to Rabbi Kiva, the understanding would be that the kedushin would be typhus. So therefore that would be the difference. According to Shimon HaTimni, they would be knas, but according to Rabbi Shimon Menasseh, that you still can't maintain a marriage with violating a positive commandment, there would not be a knas. But the Gemara still asks on this. Ha nichal Rabbi Shevav. Yes, this answer works well for Rabbi Shevav. That's only if this qualification that he said in the name of Rabbi Kiva, that kol she'en lo heter bia, that anytime there's no permissibility for bia between this man and this woman, that then the child's going to be a mamzer, that's only if that was not coming to say a general rule, but rather he was coming la'afuke mitayim de Reb Simoi kasi. He was only coming to exclude from Reb Simoi. The Reb Simoi qualified Rabbi Kiva by saying that it's only on chiv, that it's only on generic chiv alavin, that then Rabbi Kiva said that then the child will be a mamzer and kedusha will not be taifiz. On that, Rabbi Sheva was coming to argue and saying, no, it's not true, Reb Simoi. Actually, even chiv alavin of kahuna, anytime there's a prohibition of a bia, meaning a chiv alavin, even that of a kahanic one, of a malika and gadol, even then, kedushin will not be taifis. So, if that's the only thing he's arguing on Reb Simoi, so that makes sense, but you could say chiv ase he wasn't including, and therefore that would be the difference, as we point out, that shapa, we could say that that's the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Reb Shimon ben Asi would be regarding a case of chiv ase like we just pointed out. But the Gemara says, but Elie, but if Rabbi Shevav not going on Reb Simoi, where at the time of the Nafshe Kamar, he's saying his own halacha, independent halacha, which he's saying it in the name of Akiva, that would come out, if you just read his sentence on its own merit, that kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael havlad mamzer. So then he's saying that anytime there's a prohibition of bia in the Jewish people, then the child's a mamzer, that would come out v'afil l'chiv asei. So that literal translation, if he's not going on Reb Simoi to argue on one element, but as a blanket statement, so that's going even on chiv asei. So then the question comes back. So then my benai, we're back to the question. According to that qualification of Rabbi Sheva's statement in Rabbi Kiva, that any time there's a violation, even a chiv asei, Rabbi Kiva holds no condition typhus, so essentially Shimon HaTimni is the same as Shimon ben Menasseh. Because any case you can think of that you cannot maintain the marriage, which is even a chiv asei, the condition is not typhus. So then according to everybody, there's no penalty of a knas. So the Gemara answers, Ike benayu b'ula kohen gadol. The difference between them would be regarding a b'ula, a woman that's not a b'sula anymore, to a kohen gadol. That means if a kohen gadol is ma'anis, a b'ula, where there's no negative prohibition of her being a widow or divorced, just a positive commandment that a kohen gadol could only have bia, can only marry a besula, as it says, besula yikach, and not a be'ula, it's that I say there would be the difference between the two of them. Now, Rashi points out that why won't there be a negative prohibition of a zayna? Because how did she become a be'ula if she's not widowed or divorced? So that Rashi says that there's no Tana that says that when a single girl has relation with a single man, that that makes her into a zayna. Only Rabbi Elazar and Halacha is not like him. A zayna is only when the woman would have bia from someone that's pasul tar. And here, the way she became a be'ula was through someone that's kasher tar, albeit not through marriage. Now, one more point that Rashi points out is must be that this woman that we're saying she's a be'ula must be shaloi kedarka, must be anal and not in the regular way, because if it was kedarka, then the whole parsha, the whole sugi doesn't even apply. The whole kanas of a ma'anis, of a violator, only applies when he goes and takes over her besulim. If she's already a be'ula through oisa makim, then she's not a besula. So we mean that she was a be'ula, she already had bia once before, shaloi kedarka, thus making her a be'ula kohen gadol, but she's still a besula by samakim, which would still apply for the knas if a kohen gadol violated her. That would be the case of a difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Benas. But the Gemara asks, "Umay shno? Why is this positive commandment of a kohen gadol to marry a be'ula, which we're saying that we want to know regarding b'lei siya le'isha, depending how you translate siya, if it means kedushin being typhus or maintained the relationship, that we want to say that's the difference. Why would we say that Rabbi Akiva would agree that there would be Havaya, and therefore according to Shimon HaTimni there would be Kenas if a Kohen Gadol violates a Be'ula, but Shimon HaNasi would say there is not a Kenas because you cannot stay married a Kohen Gadol to Be'ula. Why would he agree if we just pointed out according to Rabbi Shevav, at least according to that last interpretation, that any Chiva say the Kedushin is not Taifas? So the Gemara answer is because the Havale Aseisha in the Shavah Bakoil. And the reason is because this positive commandment of a man not being allowed to marry a be'ula does not apply unilaterally to the Jewish people. It only applies to a kohen gadol. He's the only person that cannot marry a be'ula. And therefore, there, Rabbi Akiva would agree, since it's only a small type of a violation that only applies to the kohen gadol, therefore, kedushin would be typhus. But the Chiva say of Mitzvah Adem, which applies to the whole Jewish people, that is a strong violation, and hence their Kedushin would not be Typhus. And therefore the only difference, according to this interpretation, between Shimon HaTimni or Shimon Benasi would be a case of a Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, that according to Shimon HaTimni there would be a Knas, because Kedushin would be Typhus, but according to Shimon Benasi there would not be a Knas. Now, however, the Gemara concludes this discussion that Amar of Chizdam, however, Hakol Maidim, both Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Benasi would agree to the one halacha of Chiddush that is mentioned in our Mishnah, Be'bo'al Anida, regarding that if a man violated a besula that's a nida, that's menstruating, Shemeshalm Knas, that then they would pay a Knas. And the reason is, because L'man Dama Yesh Ba'avai, according to the one that says you have to have Kedushin being Typhus to pay the Knas, so although a nida is a violation of Karas, but Hanami Yesh Ba'avai, if someone is Mekadesh, a woman, when she's a Nida, she is Mekudeshes. So although generally Chiva Krisis, there's no Kedushin by Nida, that would apply. And Lamadam Arulei Kaim, according to the one that says you have to be able to stay fit and maintain that marriage. So although Nida is a Chiva Karis, how can you stay married? Hanam Arulei Kaim. Although, yes, one's wife can be at times in the month a Nida, menstruating, and she's a Chiva Karis, how you stay married? That is not a problem. One could maintain the marriage with a woman that's a Nida, and therefore, what the Gemara is pointing out, there is one case that they both do agree to, which is the case of a Nida, because she does have Kedushin Taifas, and she is Ruhi L'Kaima, and therefore, if a man violates a Besula that is a Nida, everyone would agree that then the man, the violator, would pay the Knas of Chamishim Kesef.